grabbing a cough drop just in case. How's everybody doing? It's cold outside, but we're about to heat it up in here. I feel like I was carrying a stick of dynamite when I was coming up here, carrying the... It's dunamis power. That's the word. So, the way this message was birthed, it's called Do Not Hold Back, was simply a word came forth to the church, and that was in Isaiah 54, verse 2, and I dove into it and I started studying it. And one of the things God showed me during this was to encourage everybody in here to do the same thing. So when a word comes forth, especially the word for the year, get in there and study it. Because my thing is, get yours. No one's going to get it for you. Go get yours. Everything that Jesus died for on the cross, how expensive that was, how rich that was, the wealth involved in that is all yours. And it sits in that Bible. And the word comes forth, and the Spirit of God starts to encourage, get in there and study it. Because it's for you. It's for your daily experiences. It's applicable to life, which is a good thing, because we're here and we're living. That would be very important. So, do not hold back. I wrote all kinds of stuff through here, so there's times where we're going to be reading some portions of Scripture that I think are going to help us understand this idea. So we're going to make our way through it. I do this just like I feel like God showed me. So what I did is, I wanted to know what was before chapter 54. So I just simply backtracked to the chapter before, which is Isaiah 53. So I just wrote, the focus of this message is on Isaiah 54, basically those first few scriptures there. But I want to talk a little bit about Isaiah 53 because it's one of the most read and studied portions of Scripture in the Old Testament. It contains a clear prophetic word of Jesus coming, Jesus being the Savior of the world. It talks about Jesus being wounded for our sins and bruised for our iniquities. And it says, by his stripes we are healed. How many times have you heard that scripture? Over and over and over and over. It's right before chapter 54. It says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Then in verse 8 through 10, this is what it says. This is Isaiah 53. It says, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And it says this, it says, who will declare his generation? And what that's talking about there is Jesus didn't have any physical children. He didn't have a son, didn't have a daughter. It says, who's going to declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. He died with no children, physically. It says, for the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And it says, they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. It says, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. This is not talking about physical children. This is not talking about physical birth. This is a prophetic word that came through Isaiah that said Jesus is going to be born. He's not going to have any physical sons or daughters, but he's going to have a bunch of spiritual ones. See, there's a natural seed and there's a spiritual seed. The whole idea of being born again is you receive that spiritual seed, which is Christ, and you become born again. Remember that whole idea? Well, how is somebody going to be born again? Thinking physically, are they going to go back into the womb and come out for a second time? Well, he's like, no, we're not talking about natural birth here. We're talking about spiritual birth. This has everything to do with this word that has come forth that says, expand your tent. Strengthen your stakes. You're going to need longer ropes. Sorry. You're going to need a bigger place. And it has everything to do with the harvest. It has everything to do with souls coming into the church. It has everything to do
with people that are sitting in darkness right now, seeing the light of the world. I saw people during worship with their hands raised, and I literally saw electricity coming out of their fingertips and going up. And I'm telling you something, it's the Spirit of God, and there's healing in those lightning bolts. And he says, when you make his soul an offering, not until, but when you make his soul an offering for sin, he's going to see a seed. We're the children of God. He shall prolong his days, and in the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. His words not going to come back void. What he says, he does. When he speaks a word into the atmosphere, there is nothing that can stop it. And what he's saying to you and me is he's saying, latch onto the lightning bolt. Latch onto the word and ride it. Walk into increase. Walk it. Walk it out. This is saying Jesus didn't have any physical children. It says, who will declare his generation? But then it says, he shall see his seed. This is spiritual seed. This is a prophetic word about the generations to come that would be born again, born of incorruptible seed and not corruptible. When Isaiah, when these words are pouring forth through the author, this is a time Israel was not in a good place. They were exiled to Babylon. Babylon literally means the land of confusion. They, year after year after year, they were pulled out of their homeland and they were put into exile, into Babylon, into the land of confusion. As God is speaking a word into the land of confusion, and he's saying, what you're experiencing now is going to be better. And man, the Christian walk, and to understand that when this is all said and done, when you come into the kingdom, when it is all said and done, it's going to be all right. Man. And that's the stuff from your day-to-day walk, the practical rubber meets the road, grassroots stuff, is to be able to walk throughout your day, and no matter what somebody says to you, no matter what circumstances coming at you, you know in the end, it's going to be okay. It's like you ride a wave. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. Again, what does it mean? You're going to be in a place where you're experiencing peace and you don't understand why. And it's because you know the end of the story. And all the Spirit of God is doing is he's convicting and he's wooing people. And he's saying, come on into the ark. Come on in. Come on in and experience the kingdom of God in its fullness. That's the decree that goes out. And this is what it says. Now we're going, moving into Isaiah 54 here. And this is what it says. And to me, after understanding these things, when you walk into these next scriptures, you begin to understand why God is speaking this forth to us and probably thousands of churches across the world. Remember, the Spirit of God, even though he can speak things to individual people, when he's wanting to move his body forward, when he's wanting to move the body of Christ forward, we are all drinking of one Spirit. So don't count it strange when your neighbor's like, oh, he's showing me that too. Oh, the sermon happened today, and we talked about that in Sunday school. Oh, I studied that last night, and I walked in here, and he's saying the same thing. It's because the Spirit of God is pouring forth revelation and knowledge. The Spirit of God is opening things, showing you what Jesus said, reminding you of things that Jesus said, and we're all drinking of the same Spirit. Spiritual Gatorade. We're all drinking the blue Gatorade. I don't know. That didn't sound right, did it? That did not sound right. Nobody's drinking Kool-Aid here. Don't go and say, the preacher told me we're all drinking the same Kool-Aid. Don't say that. So then it says this, and remember, God is speaking to them. I want you to take this in here today because this is a spiritual thing, but this can happen in your physical body. He's speaking to a people that are barren and can't produce anything. He says, sing, O barren. He doesn't say, sing when you begin to prosper. Sing when everything's going okay. Sing when all the stars have aligned and the red carpet is rolled out and people are throwing tulips at your feet and you're coming in with a cape and a... Then I'm going to sing. No, he's saying, sing when you're barren. Because we know our God. We know our God has spoke into nothingness and created all of this. Sing, O barren, you have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You have not labored with child. And one of the things that was hitting me with this is if you're in a place today and you're thinking, this isn't for me, or my life's not going right, or I just don't have enough, or I don't have the gifts and the talents and abilities, and I'm just not at the right place at the right time. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I feel like I can't talk right. This is for you. This isn't for a select few. So when God speaks a word over his body, it's for everybody in here. But it's, again, it's up for us to harness this stuff, study it, understand it, get the revelation of it, and walk into increase. So, you who have not labored with child, cry aloud, break forth in singing. For more are the children or seed, think of this as seed. Again, he said, you're going to see your seed, the increase of that, of the desolate, and he's speaking specifically about the Gentiles here, because remember that door was opened up to the Gentiles, and Gentiles came pouring into the church, and a lot of the Jews were like, this is not right, because the Gentiles were thought to be unclean. But the disciples had to convince everybody, no, this is what God wants to do. We all are Gentiles in here. Thank God, you know. Thank God the door was open. So he didn't leave it for, it started with the Jewish nation as a select few, a select nation. But then he opened the door wide up to everything. So whosoever confesses the name of Jesus says he's going to be saved. She's going to be saved. She's going to be born again. And it's literally coming to a place where you say, my goodness, I can't do this alone. I can't figure this stuff out. I'm confused. I need a Savior. And the Holy Spirit is there. And the Holy Spirit is like, that's what I wanted to hear. All it is a door that you open up to receive the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God comes on the inside of you. It happened to me. It happened to most of you in here. And if you're not in that place, it can happen to you. I went from one day not wanting anything to do with God, to the next day, I could not get enough of the scriptures. This stuff became like candy to me. You know what I mean? And I knew something had happened. I remember calling my dad and going, Dad, something has happened to me. And it doesn't always have to be that dramatic, but that's how it was with me. But it's the idea of going from darkness to light. You know something happened. So, which are the Gentiles? Then the children of the married woman, and he's talking specifically about Israel here, says the Lord. Now, he says, now why is he saying this? He's saying, enlarge the place of your tent. Why? Because of the scriptures that just came right before this. The seed's going to increase. There's going to be people coming. He's saying, and listen, when we're talking about the idea of tent, we can talk about all types of things. What is the tent? To me, the tent for me today is me. I need to let God increase me as far as my understanding, my revelation, to expand me, to stretch me, to strengthen me. Because it starts with me. And it starts with each and every one of us in here. And then it starts with us, and then we bring this collective understanding. No wonder the Bible says, don't forsake the assembly of the brethren. Why? Because there's power and unity. And understanding where we're going and understand. That's why it's so important when these words come out at the beginning of the year for everybody to get on board, everybody to get on the same page, everybody, because God spoke it to us. And it's up to us to go out and venture into it. So, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. I don't know, Jeff might have preached on this a little bit, but when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, now when they were actually doing this, because they actually did this, they would take goat skins, and I was reading about this. They would take goat skins, and literally, if you had a tent, they would begin to sew more goat skins onto the tent. So the tent would actually get bigger. And with the tent getting bigger, then you obviously needed longer, you know, longer cords. And then you obviously needed bigger stakes. And I was listening to a preacher when I was studying this stuff. And he was talking about every time he buys a tent, whatever form of tent he gets, they give you plastic stakes. Because the first thing that I do is I go to Home Depot or Lowe's and I go and buy metal stakes. Because I know if the wind's strong enough, my tent's going 50 yards down into the woods. So this idea of them physically actually doing this, but there's obviously spiritual implications to this when he's speaking this to us. Anybody live in a tent? If you do, that's all right. But we physically are not living in tents today. So I'm talking about me. What we got to do? Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. This is where, because this is the New King James Version. So I'm looking up all these words, and I look up at do not spare, and it's literally do not hold back. And this is where this message slapped me right across the face. And it probably was up on the screen at some point or whatever, but at this point, I was like, I get it. I get it. Don't hold back. This night, 2019, is the year of do not hold back. Don't hold back. Do not spare is what the New King James says. Do not spare, but do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. We've heard this. We've heard the idea of this. And then he says, do not fear. You know, we talked about this idea of vulnerability not too long ago, the idea of vulnerability being the idea of you have the propensity to be hurt. And sometimes we can get into the situation where we're like, I don't like being vulnerable. I don't like to move into vulnerable situations. I don't like to move into situations where I feel afraid or feel fearful. That's the kingdom of God. To me, if I'm not afraid moving into something that God's called me to do, I got a question, is this God or not? I know that's, you know, we talked about this idea of having this conference. Sam come up, you know, this is a big deal. It's a big thing. Isn't it interesting that God drops this idea into a couple people or a person, and it's the idea of doing something when you look at it from the outside, and the money that's involved in it, you're like, I don't know. I'm a little nervous here. I'm a little afraid, a little scared, a little fear coming in. Well, maybe it's God then. Because when our flesh starts to buck the system, when our flesh starts to scream at it, it's not going to work. It's too big. Typically, it's the enemy in the background going, what if you fail? What if you talk to all these people and you fall flat on your face? And God's like, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing too big. And this is another word for 2009. There's nothing too big for God. Nothing too big. With God, all things are possible. So do not fear. This is just mind-blowing. Do not fear. Listen to what he starts to talk about here. For you will not be ashamed. We talked about this idea of shame being that root of fear. Because nobody wants to feel shame. But what did Jesus say? He said, for the glory that was set before me, I endured the cross, despising the shame, rendering the shame powerless. And the reason why he rendered shame powerless is so you don't have to fear anymore. You don't have to fear failure. You don't have to fear falling short. You don't have to fear if something doesn't work out. Don't fear. Don't be concerned about being vulnerable. Remember, vulnerability is the pathway to joy. Sure, we can sit back. We can stop now. We can be satisfied. We can be in a comfortable place. But in that place, joy will go from here and it'll slowly start to fade. Doing the same thing over and over and over again. But if we're willing to not hold back, if we're willing to move forward with him and to walk into increase, if we're willing to take some chances, if we're willing to take some risks, on the other side of that, which Jesus called the glory set before me, that joy is on the other side of that. And again, you want to talk about levels of vulnerability? When Jesus has all the power in the world to stop what is happening and he lets himself be beaten, whipped, and put on a cross. He told them, if I really wanted to, I could call a legion of angels and deal with all of this nonsense. But I'm going to remain in this place of vulnerability. And I'm going to let these people do what they're doing to me, and I'm not going to fight it. So he moves into that place of vulnerability, moves into that place. And we think in our head, vulnerability is weakness. But he says, vulnerability is not weakness. Vulnerability is power. And it's power under control. Isn't that good? But that's the devil. The devil loves to put fear in your way. The devil loves to put doubt in your way. The enemy loves to put these stumbling blocks in your way so you don't move forward. But you have to have it in you. It's almost like sometimes the people of God have to have a taste for war. There was times in the Bible where he would tell Khmer, if you don't have somebody that doesn't have a taste for war, tell them to stay home. I've watched a lot of gladiator movies lately. And in the midst of watching these gladiator movies, I'm like, yeah. All I'm doing is I'm picturing like the sword of the spirit. I mean, that's literally what's happening in the spiritual realm. There's an extremely heavy war going on. You don't see it, so you see physical manifestations of it, but it's going on all around us. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't fear, don't be ashamed. Get rid of shame. He says, I dealt with your shame. Don't let shame be a stumbling block. Neither be disgraced. Disgraced. Don't move forward without the understanding of grace. For you will not be put to shame. This is our word. I'm telling you right now, if you're thinking in your seat, you're going, I don't know about this idea of not holding back. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be put to shame. Go do it. It's scary. I'm telling you. When you're standing back there and you know you got to get up here, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the inside of you. But, you know, we're not walking out the door. We're not going, oh, this is too much. It's too much stress. It's too much anxiety. But then you sit in that stuff over and over again. And the only way it's conquered is you move into those things that are causing you anxiety. The only way you get over a fear of flying is you get in a plane and you fly. It doesn't happen by some type of osmosis by going, oh, if I could just put myself up in that plane, I'd be cool. Oh, I got over my fear of flying. We'll get on the plane. You know, a huge piece of 20 tons of metal flying through space. You don't get over it until you get in it. That'll fit on a t-shirt. All right. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be ashamed. You will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. So what God is saying here is you're going to have to enlarge the place of your tent or your dwelling place because there's going to be a harvest too big for your present tent or dwelling place to handle it. It's not going to be able to contain everybody. So I'm talking about me and what I need to do, but when in the process of that happening, I'm preaching to the choir. That means if I'm enlarging what God has given me and I'm stretching forth and I'm moving forward, it affects lots of people. It is going to affect the circle of your influence. It's going to affect those people that are around you. And that's the whole point of it. It starts with me, but then people are going to benefit. Why? Because God's like, I want you to bear fruit. So people can come up to your tree and go, well, that's a good looking apple. We don't want rotten fruit. We don't want to be that tree where someone goes up to the tree and is like, there ain't no apples here. And hopefully they taste Jesus. I am the vine. You're the branches. Dwell in me. So the harvest is so big, your present tent or dwelling place is not going to be able to contain everybody. To spare literally means to withhold. Now we're talking about don't hold back. To spare means to withhold, to keep back, to keep for oneself. Oh, that was an awesome sermon. I ain't gonna tell anybody about it. Well, I'm gonna grow and I'm gonna grow and I'm gonna get real big on the inside. I ain't gonna tell anybody about it. Don't work that way.
We need a river going into a lake and a river coming out on the other side, and we're that lake. We're letting God pour through us. We don't want muck and mire up on our lake. Because when you're getting rid of that stuff, when God's giving you something, you're getting rid of it, you're keeping yourself in that place of flow. To spare, to withhold, to keep back, keep for oneself, keep from, hold in check. I know God's called me to do this, but I'm going to wait a little bit. This isn't the year to say that. I'm telling you right now, if God is putting something in your heart, whatever it is, this is not the year to keep it in check. It's not the year to coddle that vision or coddle that dream or coddle that calling and just hold it. It's not that time. It's the time for whatever God has shown you to do to not hold back. No matter how fearful or scary it looks on the other side, don't hold back. I'm speaking to a mature people here. So God in this new year is telling us to not hold back. He says, spare not. Listen to some of the words in this verse. Enlarge, stretch, lengthen, strengthen, expand. He is saying, prepare a place for increase. We have to understand this. Prepare a place of blessing. Prepare a place where I can move in my fullness. Enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge your faith and what I can do. To the extent that you expand, this is important, to the extent that you expand will be the extent that I fill. Don't limit me. Can't you see it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and I'll let least streams in the desert. And there's the word. And he puts it forth. It's interesting because with all the power that God has, the portions of scripture that talk about Jesus went into a territory and it says he could not do many great works there because of their unbelief. Well, come on, he's Jesus. He can do whatever he wants. No, there's a place in God. And can God overtake somebody's will? Can God do whatever he wants at any time? Absolutely. He's speaking through donkeys. He's speaking through a donkey, right? I'm talking about a donkey going, how are you doing today? It wasn't whimpering and there wasn't some kind of donkey whisper around. I heard that donkey screech. This is what he's talking about. God is speaking this word to us. Speaking prophetically. I've made a way in the wilderness and I unleash streams in the desert. In these scriptures, God was speaking prophetically to a barren nation, a desolate nation, a lost nation, a nation who is in the process of coming out of the captivity of Babylon, the land of confusion, because that's what God does. He speaks his word, and then he performs it, and it starts with us. If the music people want to come on up. My encouragement to you is to take these things, study them for yourself. Look into them. Look at them. The Bible clearly talks about the idea of your body being a tent. Peter talks about the idea of, I'm going to put off this tent. There's a connection in the New Testament when it's talking about the Old Testament, physical tents. The tent in the New Testament is literally talking about the human body. And remember, God is not interested in filling houses that were made by human hands. He's interested in filling houses that he made. It used to be called the tent of dwelling, or the place God dwelled. In Philippians 3, and this is where we're going to end, this is chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Y'all can stand. Remember, this is an upward call. This isn't a stagnant call. This isn't a backward call. This is an upward call. And this is what it says in Philippians 3. This is verses 12 through 14. And we're all in this place. Not that I have attained. In other words, not that I have received everything that God has for me in this life. I'm still walking this thing out. Or I'm already perfected. Everybody in here knows that we all have all types of flaws, all types of shortcomings, all types of spaces where we're like, man, I'm just not measuring up in that area. Well, the good news is you don't have to be disgraced. Grace fills the areas. Grace is that goes into those places that you still feel in you. You just feel like you haven't quite bridged the gap. I'm empty in this place. This is a place of darkness I sense in myself. This is a place where I just don't feel like I'm meeting God's standard. And God is saying, my grace is the place that fills those voids. So we move forward in grace. We move forward in these things. Not that I've already attained or already perfected, but this thing I do, come on guys, I press on. I'm going to press on. That why? That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Jesus grabbed you by your shirt and said, you are mine. And we are in the process of understanding why he tugged on our hearts and pulled us to himself and said, I want you. I want you. I want you. I want you. I want you in my house. I want you in the kingdom as my child. So we're gradually and slowly figuring these things out of why he pulled us, why he apprehended us. Why has he laid hold of me? Go. This week, I double dog dare you to get on your knees somewhere where there's nobody and go, God, why did you lay hold of me? Why did you lay hold of me? Why did you call my name? Why did you choose me? It says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. There's nobody in here that's apprehended, fully apprehended. But one thing I do, he says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. He says, you're not going to remember the shame of your youth. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. Maybe some of you in here today are dealing with things that happened a day ago, a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, and the enemy brings it up into your mind. God says, you're going to forget the shame of your... I dealt with your shame on the cross. I took care of it. I disarmed it. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forward. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Listen, God has all types of things that are laid out. He has all types of things that are coming in the future. He's got these... The banquet table is set. These things are out there, and they were prescribed for you and me. The Bible says that these things were chosen for you and me to walk in before the foundations of the world. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The call is upward. The call is upward into increase. It's not backward, it's not stagnant. The Bible says, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Do you hear that? Just as your soul prospers. So, to the extent that my soul is prospering, to the extent that I have the grasp, or I'm starting to understand more and more each day, the love of God, which surpasses all understanding, greater than any height, greater than any depth. Unfathomable. The more and more I start to get a grip on God's love. To me, when I'm studying something, God's love are the stakes. Come on now, listen. God's love, the understanding of God's love is the stake that goes deep. Rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Your tent, those stakes are a root. And it says, rooted in the love of God. To the extent we understand the love of God is the extent that our tent expands. To love the unlovable. So finishing, I'm convinced that God wants us to grasp the truth of how big he is in 2019. That he is the God of the impossible. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're putting this into the atmosphere. He's calling us to come up higher, to expand our thinking, and to come into agreement with what he has in store, what he has already said. Verse 2 says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. How does my soul prosper? Walking in the truth. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And we pray the sealing of this word in your heart, the word that's come forth, that it would burn as you study it, as you understand it, as you reach into it, as you delve into it, as you open it up, as you look at it. Let it be your launching pad. Let the place of the truth, the place of the word, be your foundation to move forward. Thank you, God, for your healing power. Thank you for your Spirit that you gave to us as a guarantee. As a guarantee, you gave us the Spirit of God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that even now and in these days forward, and this idea of moving into increase, this idea of you moving through your people in a more powerful way, this idea of using your people to be your hands and feet on this earth to expand your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, that we would have the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom of who Jesus is and the love of God that is expansive. Let it pour forth from your church. Let wisdom, let revelation, let knowledge, let healing, the gifts of the Spirit be manifest in this house. Let all manner of gifts and talents and abilities be used in this house. This is the year that you do not hold back. Don't hold back the gift, the talent, the ability, the fruit that God has given you. And as we pour forth, God says, I'm going to pour forth. As we open our mouth, he says, I'm going to fill it. As we touch people that need a touch, he said, I'm coming through your hands. I created you so that I could inhabit you and move through you to touch other people. That is your destiny. That is why you are here. That is why you are called, and that's why you've been born. Do you question, why am I here? Why have I been born? He laid it out. I called you to be a part of something. I called you to be a part of the body of Christ. I didn't call you to be alone or isolated or be on an island. I called you to intermix and intermingle with other houses in this area, in this region, in this state, and in the world. That I would take this church and this ministry and that ministry, and I would network across the world. Lift your head because your redemption draws nigh. Lift your head because your redemption draws nigh. Do not look at the ground. Look up and be healed. Any place of barrenness right now, we speak life into the place of barrenness. We speak life. And we say, be healed and be filled.
Yeah.
And we pray all these things. And the people that pray, if you'd come up. Many words have been spoken over this church. This is the year for some of those words to come true. This is the year where you're going to start to see the buds on the trees begin to open up and begin to bloom. These words that have been spoken. It comes from a hungry, desperate, bowed down, humbled people that are not going to hold back. How are we going to ever know if we hold back? We seal and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. We pray. Everybody said, amen.